Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, radio listeners. This is your pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, with the Anointed Word International Ministries. I'm so blessed to be here today, and I do give God glory and I give him honor this morning because it is a blessing to be able to rise this morning and look around and still have use and activities of my limbs and clothes in my right mind and knowing that the Lord has delivered to me this day fresh mercies. He's an awesome God, isn't he? He is an awesome God. And I'm so glad to be with you today. I pray that all is well with you and your family. Pray that you had a blessed holiday and that God is what's good to you and yours and that you did give him praise and glory and honor because he's not a God that he forget his children. Isn't that right? Yes, he does not forget his own because he takes care of his children. And I just want to say, God, you are such an awesome God. You are just an awesome, awesome God. There is none like you, Father, none like you. And this morning, I just want to go into prayer with you. Praise God, a short prayer to let God know that I appreciate what he is doing in my life, what he has done in my life, and what he's going to do in my life. Amen. And this morning, Father, I do come to you, precious one, and thanking you, Father God, for life, health, and strength today. Thanking you, praise God, for having been used in activities of my limbs, closed in my right mind, and a mind to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing, praise God, that when I call, he answers, and he heareth me. I am so grateful. Thank you, Father, for blessing me. Praise God, for keeping me, for forgiving me of every iniquity and sin and confessing them before you, Father God, and realizing that there is things that I can do without you. And I recognize that this morning. And God, I do give you praise. Allow me to go through this day, being blessed through this day, knowing that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it and be glad. Father God, ask the Lord that you touch the troubled minds today, those that are brokenhearted, those that are wounded, Father God, that are those that are sick and need to be healed. For God, you are the healer. You are the healer, Father God, of all mankind. And God, I do give you praise today. Touch their hearts. And those that don't know you, Father, in the pardon of their sins, Father God, allow them, praise God, put individuals before them to witness about your goodness and your coming to them, praise God, that they may know that Jesus is coming back. Ready or not, he's coming back. And I thank you, Father, for this day. And I adore you. I honor you, and I do ask all the blessings in your name, believing that it's already been done. It's already has been taken care of, and I am blessed. I am blessed, praise God, to know such Savior as you. And I do ask all of this. I ask it in Jesus' name. I do pray, amen, amen, and amen again. But this morning, praise the Lord, I'd like to speak to you just briefly, praise God, on a subject, praise God, that sometimes, praise God, we pray and we wonder, praise God, what is going on. I mean, it appears that we're praying, but there is nothing happening. There is no answers coming. The prayers are the same. It seems as if you're not listening to the individual. But I'm here this morning to give you, praise God, some insight, praise the Lord, on what God is looking for in your prayer and what things you should be doing when you pray, and if you're not praying, the things that you should do to get an answer for your prayer. Amen. And this morning, praise God, I'm just going to talk about, you know, a little subject, praise the Lord, and I will be giving you scriptures that you may write down and follow through later to read it for your own justification. Okay? And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about you cannot expect God to answer prayer if we are not doing his will. Amen. You can't expect him to do something for you when you're not doing what he wants you to do in order to bring, praise God, to progress or bring, praise God, to answer. You must, praise God, if you pray. We are not doing his will, then you can't expect a return, praise the Lord. Because, see, this is simply just, this involved more than just keeping the written commandment, praise the Lord, of the Lord. It involves doing what God wants us to do in our lives. See, there is a condition for you getting the answers to your prayers. Now, we know, praise the Lord, that God does not hear sinners. Okay, now hear that again. Let me say that again. Because many times we run across people that say, oh, I pray for you. You know, people that, you know, some of them, are, you know, they're sinners. I pray for you. But I want you to let them know that, praise God, that we know that God does not hear sinners, but sinners, okay? But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, this is the scripture, this is scripture, this is pure word, he heareth him. Now, that's found in John 31. In John 31, it tells us that. John 9:31, God don't hear sinners. And this involves living a godly life, you understand? And this and doing what God tells you to do and following God's leadership. It is God, it's God's expression. Yes, it is. It is his expression and his will for us to be what? For us to read. Uh-huh. To read and study. Okay, here we go. And study. See, there's a difference in reading and studying. You read it, you're done with it. Study it, you go into it, you break it apart, you pull it apart, you look it up, you run references. And it says to study his word as 2 Timothy 2:15 and 18, you know, those are the times he wants us to study. He tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. But you see, then what that means, we must shun all things. We must get rid of everything that's not of God. This is what it is. Listen to this. But we must get rid of everything that's not of God. All that profane and all that vain babbling, you know, talking no nonsense. But they will increase into more ungodliness. You see, you do things sometimes and we get caught up in it and we think it's funny, we think it's okay. But if it goes what it does, it creates a foundation of ungodliness. And there the word will eat as doeth a cankering worm. See, it'll eat up stuff, it'll cause problems, you understand? But who's concerning the truth? And the truth have errors, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. But you see, you got to understand, when you know the word, people can say what they will or may, the word in you will glorify, and it will stand on its own. God does not need anyone to protect or help him out with his word, because the word is what it is. And God, see, God's will for us is to be, is to study his word and to be doctrinally, you know, sound in our own belief, not just be tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. Okay? He don't want us to be that way. He wants to have a sound foundation, a steady foundation on our own sound belief. Every time somebody says something, don't jump from here to there. Understand, praise God, you know what the words say, and that's what you stand on, and I'm sticking to it. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I know what the words say. See? A church of individual who believes and practice false doctrine is out of God's will, and their prayers will not be answered. Do you hear that? See? An individual. Now, when the word church, I have to break it down to you. Church means to me is the word church is you. I hear people sometimes talk about, oh, the church, I'm going to church. You are the church. Are you understanding me? You are the church. The place you go to is a place that you gather to worship, to magnify with each other, but the church is you. Because the Bible declares that he said that when I come back, I will come for a church without the spot, wrinkles, or the blemish. The church is you, my friend. You are the church. You are the temple. You are the temple. He says, you've been bought with a price, and that price is the price of the blood of Jesus. He bought that temple of you. You are the temple of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, so when I say individual, I would rather say individual than the church is you. When you, praise God, know that who you are in Christ and can understand, you know, what it takes to be in Christ and all that you will need to do to stay in Christ, then this is when, praise God, you know, praise God, that you are standing firm, firm on the word of God. And you are not tossed to and fro. Mm-hmm. You're not easy to be overthrown of some of the doctrine. And then God will answer your prayer. But now, praise God, in Hebrews 10:25, it tells us that God's will is for us to attend, you know, it's for us to come together and to glorify each other. It's for us to come together. See, we take this thing, church. Before, but let's think about it and do a little self-research for yourself. Who is the church and what is the church? God tells us, let us draw nigh with a true heart and full assurance of the faith, having our hearts what? You see? Let us draw to a true faith, having our hearts what? Sprinkled from any evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Your who? Your body. Your church. Get your church, your body. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering from the faith that he promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly. Oh, there we go. Now they say, but yeah. So you got a lot of people that have been going to church all their life, but they're going to church. They've been going to an assembly all their life, but their church is not even there. Because you got to understand, baby, you are the church. You've been bought with the price. The price of the blood of Jesus. When he comes back, he's coming back for your church, not the building. The building. Huh? If you recall, praise God, in a time when he was crucified, getting ready to go, praise God, and be crucified, and he says, you know, he said, I'm going to tear down this building and this building in 3 days. And then he said, I'm going to tear it down. The Jews was upset about that because they got this fabulous building. You talking about tearing something down and going to build it back up in 3 days? You see, the natural mind of man cannot conceive the things of God. But he was talking about his body. I'm going to lay this building. I'm going to tear this body down. But in 3 days, I'll build it again. They was upset because they were calling him, he's a blasphemer, he's a liar. But they didn't understand his saying. Just remember, you are the church. You're the one that God seeks to enter every day. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He said, and let us consider one another to not provoke unto love and to good works, forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, okay, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another. Oh, yes. And so much, even the more. They see the days are approaching. You see, this is what happened. We have lost the love for each other, so our church is being destroyed. Yes, we have lost the love for each other. We'll go sit up in a building 4, 5, 15, 20 hours all day, 8 hours a day, and we do what we do. We pass the plate, we shout, we jump, we say we pray and all this type of stuff, but you leave out the same way you came in because your church is not involved because you're too busy trying to glorify, hello somebody, the building. But lots of people take comfort in the fact that Christians are not under the law, you see? Yeah, we're not under the law, and we do not have to keep the Sabbath. But you see, God kept the Sabbath. Now, he kept the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was a time that you rest and you do only for him. But before the law got, God set principles in place. That one day of the week was set aside to worship him for rest. Because, you know, God knows our daily schedules. We have our schedules and we have this life here. And God understood all of this. He knew all about it. He knew everything that would take place. And he said for him to rest. See, you have to understand, because Israel paid a high price for ignoring God's law concerning worshiping him. Believers will too. You must give God some time. You must give God. And he's not asking a lot. And you don't have to go to your building to worship him. You can do it with your church. You, my friend, are the church. Clearly, God's will is for his children to be faithful to what? To the house of God. The country is in uplifting each other in the Lord. There is nothing more discouraging, praise the Lord, than the members of you, the members of church, the church members who is unfaithful in their, you know, in their worship of God. You see, because now I want to ask a question here. If the church is what we're doing, and that's the church, the building we go to is our church. What will happen, my friend, when, okay, these churches are shut down and you are no longer will be able to go? What are you going to do? Will you just stop serving God because you can't get to your church, your building? No, my friend, you are the building. You are the church. You are the church. Everyone know we all should worship the Lord, what, one day of the week, which is the Sabbath, if you want to say it. And it hurts us to see, you know, sometimes when we're not there to do it, or we're waiting on someone. Sometimes you go into a service, and if you don't have your church is not in order, not able to reach God, you leave out worse than you did before you went in. You see? And you can't encourage others when your church is not even up to par. When yours is not up to par. Colossians 1:18 tells us, He is the head of the body. Who is the head of what? Head of what? Head of the body. Wait. Come with me here. Colossians 1:18 tells us that he who? Christ is the head of the body, the church. Oh, the head of the body, the head of you. That's what he should be. Who in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? Preeminence. He may have the go-to. He may be able, praise God, to reach out. He's saying, I am the one, praise God, that you should come to. It is God's will that the Lord Jesus Christ be the first and, wait a minute. It is God's will that the Lord Jesus Christ be the first in our lives before all else. We put Christ first in the best things we can do. That means before our pleasure, whatever they may be. For some, it might be some special service. Is God leading you to participate or do some things? My thing is, for me, is to get into the Word of God, that you may know what the Word of God is having you to do, that your prayers not be hindered, that you be able to reach out and God will hear when you pray. God has given you the privilege to do, praise God, the things, praise God, that you need to do to build a strong relationship with him. That so when you pray, your prayers are heard and not, praise God, unheard. God does not answer the prayers of those who are not at peace with each other or with yourself. We need to be at peace with others, praise God, for we want our prayers to be answered. That many times we need to go and examine ourselves and know, praise God, that our lives are lining up with the Word of God. In order for you to get any prayer, praise God, that you are trying to get answered, and we know, praise God, you cannot expect God to answer prayer if we are not doing the will of God. I'm making it plain this morning, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible also tells us, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding, you know, with your wives and stuff. Give them honor to the wife as to be the weaker vessel. The vessel, yes. And as being heir together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. He said it in 1 Peter 3:7. Family problems can surely cause your prayers not to be answered. Praise God, arguing, bickering, fighting in the home will destroy it. Praise the Lord, fighting with each other will destroy it. It will rob a home of peace and it will rob your life of joy. It will destroy the peace and it will not give you no kind of security of your marriage, of your relationship with the Lord. I have seen many people, praise God, families, individuals, children live with messed up because of the wife and the husband, the confusion and the home, not getting along. And today, praise God, our homes are in a mess, praise God, because the majority, there are 24 million homes without a father in the home today, and the mother is taking the role on as a father. And praise God, we are in a mess. But when we're not seeking God for the answers of our situation, we run into, praise God, calamity. But the wonderful thing is that Christ, praise God, can help us overcome the problems, praise the Lord, that if we, praise God, will seek him while he can be found, he can answer our prayers, praise the Lord. But we must come with a clean heart. Our church must not, praise God, we must be clean of spots, wrinkles, and blemish. Do you realize that prayers, father and the mother for their children, are not answered when we do not dwell in peace and harmony with one another? Praise the Lord. Our children are going astray, praise the Lord, just because our parents, and we as parents, are not following, praise God, the rules, praise God, and the obligation that the Lord has left for us, praise God, to have a prayer answered life. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. You see, we're fighting with the husband. We're fighting with the children. We're fighting on our job. We're fighting with each other. Praise God. We're just fighting. We're just fighting, just fighting, just fighting. Well, we do not have to fight back. And rarely, it is there not to blame on the other side. The definite, praise God, cure is to turn the matter over to the Lord, confessing first one's sins. And then making the commitment. See, that's what separates us from our God, is our sins. And then it's making a commitment to live for the Lord. If you don't, praise God, regardless of what somebody else does, you do it, praise the Lord. It surely will make a difference. We must learn how to reconcile our differences. But now I still say to you again, he said in the word of God, praise God, in Matthew 18:19, he said, again I say unto you that if two, wait a minute, not two of the same, we must be doing the same thing, walking together. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they must agree? When you asking someone to pray for you, you need to know that they are on the same level as you, are walking as one, not two. Then if two of you agree on the earth concerning anything that they ask, oh, that is so profound, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. So that means we must come together. In anything that we pray about, we must come together, because there's a principle, is one of harmony. The model prayer, he left it for us, for he give us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. In Matthew 6:12, the harmony in our body, in our church, means in our family, in our bodies, each doing their share, plus helping others, praise the Lord, seeking one another. Well-being, God will honor that. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly, that's what the word of God says, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of trouble, times of need. Hebrews 4:16. We must be persistent in our prayers. Not I'll pray today and next week I won't pray till 5 or 6 days later. You can pray, praise God, going to work. You can pray in your bathroom. You can pray while you're laying in the bed. That's always opportunity to pray. And this is why the Bible said, and praise God, it said it. And the Lord teaches the model prayer in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus followed with it with the parable. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall not go unto him at midnight and say unto him, my friend, lend me 3 loaves. For my friend of mine is on his journey. He's coming to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in the bed. I cannot raise and give thee. I shall say unto you, though he will not raise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise up and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you again, listen to me again. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11:5-9. Clearly the Lord is teaching us that we should be persistent. Yeah, 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 yeah. The word persistent, that's the key. You do it today and do it no more. I can't stay on track because I don't have the time. There have been things that Christians have prayed for years, and God is, you know what? And it's still not answered. It is not that God does not want you to answer. He's not going to want to answer. It is that he wants to withhold the answer to our prayers, but God knows the time when it is best. And our persistence shows our God, shows him, you understand, how our faith is in God and his promise to answer prayer. Okay? I like that. The persistence. Now, this is to be applied to God in no other sense than that one often hears, to hear the prayers and grant his blessing even long after they have appeared to be unanswered or withheld. He leads them to preserve them for months, years, days, seconds, hours, whatever. He leads it. Because you're not persistent. until they feel internally that their dependence is on him, until they see that they can't obtain the blessing in no other way, no other way, form, or fashion, until they are prepared to receive the answer to the prayer. Persistence. Often they are not prepared to receive it, you see. And when they ask for it at first, they already come with their mind made up, I'm going to get this in the next few days. But they may be proud or have no justice sense of their independence, or they may not, would not even have a value of the blessing they're asking for. But let not no one be despaired. If the thing is not for our good, and if it is the proper that it should be granted, God will give it on condition that you meet with him on a persistent basis. But let us first understand, let us praise the Lord, okay, that asking, all right, let us see that our minds are in the proper state. What is your motive? Let us feel our needs of the blessing. Let us inquire whether God has promised such a blessing, okay? Don't just ask right out because he said he'll do it. What is your motive? What is your motive? It's such a blessing. And then let us preserve it until God gives it. Now, what we want to say to that is this, praise the Lord. Isaiah speaking to disobedient Israel gave them the promise of God. It shall come to pass that before that they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65, 2 and 4. And God said, because why? The persistency was with him, the promise of God. But who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, 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 and seek my face, and turn. Quit doing what you're doing. Stop it. Stop the evil thinking. Stop the evil planning, the plotting, the underhandedness. He said, and turn from their wicked, evil ways. The wicked ways. You see what I'm saying? The wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Do you believe that whatever the past, the future is clean? Whatever the past is, the future is clean. We can decide this very morning to live as God would have us to do, that we might have God bless all that we do, and he hear us when we pray. You must be a persistent prayer, my friend. This is not a quick 5-minute microwave situation here. You must have a relationship with God. With God. You and him. Amen. And you must remember, you cannot expect God to answer if the conjunction, we are not doing his will. You must be in the will of the Almighty God. God will answer. He's not a God that he can lie. And if there's any sin and unfaithfulness in our life, now is the time to confess it to the Lord. I confess you from it. God is a God of new beginnings. Thank the Lord. He loves us so much. He does not scold and promises to give his help to us liberally than he promises if we ask in faith. Amen. God is standing there with outstretched arms saying, come as you are. But you must come in persistency. God must have a relationship with you, you with him. Oh, my friend, I pray that you are blessed this morning. I pray, praise God, that you get something from the word today. But remember this one thing. You can have it if you ask, but you must have a relationship with Jesus Christ to get it. You be blessed throughout the day. I pray, God, that you have a wonderful day today, you and yours. But pray, always pray. Man must always pray and not to faint. You be blessed. Until the next time. This is your pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, with the Anointed Word International Ministries. You be blessed.